Hello and welcome to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry of the Washam Word. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Washam Word. That's the hand car wash that you can find over in the Powell Shopping Center in Church Hill. We're on Highway 11W, and we created this car wash so that we can get the Word of God out there in a way that is a little bit different than what we're used to in regards to the four walls of the church. So what you can do is come into the parking lot, go to 107.1 FM, and while you're in the parking lot area, you can be anywhere in the vicinity, and tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear the Word of God being preached, and not just sparingly. We do verse by verse, and we do it this way because we believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is not only important, it's absolutely vital if we're going to live in a culture that has all but forgotten the truth of God's Word. And so to stand firm, we take all of God's Word and we adhere to it. We preach it, hopefully we obey it, and this is what we do here at the Washam Word. So the wash part is your car. This is how we earn the money to keep the business and the ministry alive. And of course, the Word part is the preaching. So again, come by anytime. You don't have to get your car washed. We don't even have to be open. You can come by at 2 o'clock in the morning and turn to 107.1 FM and listen and maybe hear something, a word from the Lord. We want this parking lot to be known as a place where you can go and hear the Word of God any time of the day, any day of the week. So that's what we're here for. That's what we do. If you have any questions, go to washandword.com. That's our website. It's wash, letter N, word.com. All right, we're going to get right back into it because this is what we do. And we are going verse by verse through the book of 1 John. And we've already had several 15-minute teachings on the book of 1 John. We're only four verses into it. We spent a little time on the introduction of the book, as I typically do when we start a new book. And again, if you go to washandword.com, you can download and listen to any of the archived messages, of course, for free, and we encourage you to do that and to share them. And so in the book of 1 John, we read the first four verses already, which was just an opening statement by John, basically, I guess we call it laying forth his credentials. And without going too much into it, he says, look, I, John, wrote this letter. I, John, have seen our Lord. I've seen the miracles. I've walked with him. I've talked with him. I've seen the resurrection. I've seen, and remember, he's writing now some 80 or 85 years after the birth of Christ. So we're looking at a second generation of first century church that he's writing to. So the corrective letters that we have examined already in the New Testament that Paul has written, John kind of puts his mind and his focus in a little bit of a different direction, knowing that he doesn't have to undo all of the teaching that the first century church had to get undone. That is, they grew up under the Mosaic law. Christ came, brought the new way, changed everything. So there was an unlearning period for the first century church, or the first generation church, I should say. And then after the unlearning period, there was a teaching period of the new way, the way of grace that Christ brought. But with John, his writings, he doesn't have to deal with that unlearning process. So he goes right into teaching, and this letter is definitely a letter of affirmation. It is a letter that is meant to build us up and give us confidence. You know, there's a lot of confidence a Christian should have when they walk with the Lord. God gives us everything that we need. We walk unwanting. That is, that in Christ we have all things. We are fulfilled. We have access through the Holy Spirit to every gift, every power. Christ himself said, you will do everything I've done and more. And so we should be walking around with just spewing confidence, not pride, not boastfulness, but confidence. And this is what John's main purpose and main focus is. He's like, look, you stop being so timid. Stop walking around wondering if you're going to make it, wondering if God loves you, wondering if your sins are forgiven. All that's been done. And that's what he's trying to go. So we're going to get back into it here in just a second. We are in book of 1 John. We already did verses 1 through 4. And if you remember, I said John was, I called him John the Mender. And if you remember from last teaching, you know, to help us discover what God has for us or what our role or what our ministry is, think about what you were doing and where you were when Christ first called you. A lot of times that has a direct connection with what God has for you. So I called John the Mender. John was a fixer. And he was the last writer chosen by God in the New Testament to fix what was broken. Now, John lived in the time of Domitian. He was a ruthless emperor in Rome. He was the son of Vespasian. And again, he was the most ruthless of all emperors. He even exceeded Nero in regards to his depravity. And much like today, the church then was also under attack by the government. But not only that, it was under attack from within through bad theology and through false doctrine. So not much has changed, has it? You see, we don't have the kind of persecution in America as they had back then in the first and second generation church, or as they have in other places in the world. But remember, persecution, the blood of the martyrs, is the seed of faith. It is the seed of the gospel. And oftentimes, persecution only led to a greater spread of the gospel. So our lack of persecution in America has actually been a detriment to the spread of the gospel. Have you ever had a dream and it was so good that you woke up and you were disappointed that to find out that it was only just a dream? And I don't want to hear any examples of some of the dreams that you were really happy in, because I know I've had a few of them where I'd rather not share them publicly. But I remember when I was a younger man, I used to smoke cigarettes. And I smoked for about 7 years, long enough to make it a very difficult habit to quit. And I remember when I quit, I was going through, you know, it's really hard to quit. It's probably one of the hardest things a person can ever do is quit smoking. And I remember as I was going through the first few months of quitting that I would have this reoccurring dream. And in the dream, I would dream that I faltered. And having gone so many months or whatever it was in the dream of not smoking, I went ahead and had a cigarette. And I remember feeling so let down in my dream. I mean, just this empty, sinking feeling like, oh, I was doing so good. And now I blew it. And now I got to start all over. And then I would wake up and I would realize, I would just have this moment of elation knowing that I still have a chance because it was just a dream. And I'm still on the, you know, on my cycle of not smoking. And praise the Lord, I've never picked up a cigarette since. But that's the point here is that sometimes even reality needs a reminder. And after a bad day, you wake up. And it may be the next day, but nevertheless, that day was real. That yesterday was real. That bad day you had was real. Well, I'm telling you all this to say that John told us in verses 1 through 4 about the ultimate reality, that of course being Jesus Christ, that he wasn't a myth, he wasn't a thought, he wasn't just a great idea. He says, I've seen him, I've seen the very reality and the realm of Jesus Christ. It's a true reality. So the question is, if Christ is a reality, well, what then? And that's where we pick it up in verse 5. It's just a continuation of the reality of Jesus Christ. And the most important part, it is the result and purpose of living a real life in him. Look at verses 5 through 10. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. You remember in our last teaching, I said John was the most black and white, you know, blunt. He was the kind of writer that just put it out there the way it was. And we could see that in his writings. God is light. In him there is no darkness. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now, that is all I'm going to read today. In fact, that's going to carry over probably into one or two more 15-minute teachings over the course of the next day or two. But there, even though it was five verses, there is a lot in there to look at. So let's start out by saying this. False doctrines lead to wrong thinking, and wrong thinking leads to wrong living. And this is why so many of the New Testament writers were so adamant against false teaching or false doctrines. Even Jesus himself had the harshest words to say to those who presented false gospels or false teachings or led his people astray. False doctrines lead to wrong thinking, and wrong thinking leads to wrong living. So whether it's Paul who was dealing with legalism, or it's John who's dealing with Gnosticism, or it's us today dealing with humanism, the result of false doctrine is going to be wrong thinking. And if your thinking is wrong, your living is going to be wrong. And the truth is, the only solution to falsehood, the only weapon that we have, is the Bible. And that's about as John as I can put it. That is about as black and white as I can possibly put it. The only solution we have to false doctrine, the only weapon we have, is the Bible. The Bible. Because listen, bad doctrine leads to wrong thinking. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living, and wrong living leads to sin. They're all so intertwined, interconnected. This is why the devil's one of the greatest strategies he has is to introduce false doctrine or half-truths. Because if he can introduce false doctrines, he knows the succession of starting with false doctrine or bad teaching is inevitably going to lead to sin. And that is his ultimate goal, to lead us into sin. Do you know why? Because sin leads to death. And this is the devil's main goal: destruction, desolation, and ultimately death. And they are all connected, so much so that sin is the end and ultimate result of false teaching and bad doctrine. So it begins with false doctrine or bad teaching, and it ends in sin. What other reason would the adversary have for spewing out false teaching if it doesn't lead to sin? You see, bad doctrine, which leads to bad thinking, which leads to bad living, ultimately leads to sin. And then the acting out of the sin, well, this is the darkest reality of them all. That darkness that John was talking about here, of walking in the light and deceiving ourselves and being in darkness and being out of fellowship. Think of any sin or crime, and humans will be shocked when we add the words, "And he did it right there in broad daylight." You ever heard that one before? "I can't believe he was doing that right there in broad daylight. Right there for all to see." Like, we're surprised to see sin happening in broad daylight, because most sinful acts are done in the darkness, in the cover of night, in the cloak of darkness. This is not just a euphemism, but it's an actual reality. And this is what John is trying to put forth here. He's saying, listen, light has come. And because light has come, there is no longer a place for sin to hide. There is no more darkness. Verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." You see, the enemy hates truth. He hates it because it takes away his hiding place. Well, that's about all the time we have for this teaching, but we will pick it up here where we left off tomorrow. Join me again on WMCH Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. 1260 AM radio. That's when we do these Bible teachings originally. If you want live verse-by-verse Bible teaching, join me at Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We're at 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Hope to see you there. If not, come by the Wash and Word Let us know you're hearing these, and remember, 107.1 FM, 24/7 in the Washington Word. Have a blessed day.